Continuing in our studies on numbers in Scripture, and last week we looked at a few numbers. We got through 17 is victory and 18 is bondage, and today we'll come to number 19. We'll probably finish up today, and it's interesting to see how as the numbers get larger and larger, there's a progression and there's an addition process that goes on. The number 19, which we'll be coming to today, it's another prime number, a number that's only divisible by one in itself. It is the eighth prime number. And we'll find out that the number 19 is associated with the numbers 10 and 9 put together. 10, of course, being authority under God, and 9 being fruitfulness. And when you allow God's authority to work in your life, and you allow that fruit to come forth, the only way that happens is through you having faith and God working. 19 is associated with faith. Associated with faith. Now, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, which is the chapter of faith in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, it tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, that's by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now they obtained a good report because they were under God's authority and they let God's fruit come forth in their lives. In this chapter we read about many people that had faith. And what you'll notice is there are 19 mentions in this chapter of people working by faith. It actually starts in verse 3. The first one is we understand. This book of Hebrews is written to people that love the Lord. And we are reading this chapter of faith here. We, as men of faith, women of faith, are reading about the people of faith that God's worked in their lives. So then we read through the number of people. There's Abel, there's Enoch, there's Noah, there's Abraham, Sarah, there's Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, 18, guy mentioned is Samuel. And then in verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me," and it mentions these folks right here that we were just talking about, to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And verse 19, "and of the prophets." There is the 19th mention. So running through this entire chapter, there's 19 mentions of people that allowed God to work in their life. And that includes us in the first mention. Verse 3, we're allowing God to work. Now, as I went through it, I noticed as I looked at the names mentioned and I counted when they fell. For example, we'll get to verse 4. By faith, Abel. Now, Abel is the second one mentioned. We are the first ones mentioned. Abel is number 2. And I remember 2 is a number of division. And when you think about the story of Abel, it's always Cain and Abel. And there you see the division. There was one man that loved God and obeyed God and brought the sacrifice God wanted, and there was another man that wouldn't obey God and brought his own sacrifice. And we see the division of Abel and Cain, and the division occurred over the sacrifice and over the relationship to God. The third one mentioned in verse 5, Enoch, number 3. What do we know about Enoch? Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He's translated. Translation is a picture of getting your new body, the resurrection. Remember, 3 is associated with God working, and 3 and 3, the resurrection. And so we see that there. Going on, the next one mentioned, verse 7. By faith, Noah. This is the fourth person mentioned, Noah. When did Noah live? Noah lived at the time when God brought judgment to the world. 4 is the number of the world. So here's the fourth person mentioned, and he's the man that triumphed over the world because, like it says, look at it, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. There's the fourth person mentioned, and there's world. We know 4 is the number of the world. Moving on, let's see. The next one in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place where he should receive for an inheritance, we see that Abraham and his seed are heirs according to the promise. See, verse 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Those are his heirs. The heirs with him of the same promise. And so Abraham and his seed are heirs according to the promise. What's the promise we have today? The promise is that God will save us by grace. That's the only promise you and I have, is by getting into God's grace. Other than that, we're outside of the promises of God. We enter into God's promises by grace. He's the fifth one mentioned. The eighth one that was mentioned in this chapter here is found, let me see, I got to count and get this right, verse 21. Verse 21 is the eighth person mentioned. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Now, Jacob, if you remember, was the younger of twins. The elder twin was Esau. Jacob was the younger. Esau, remember, to us, is a picture of, a type of, reminds us of the first birth. The birth of the flesh. Jacob is a picture of the second birth, the birth of the man that is born after the Spirit. That's what Jacob's a picture of in the Scripture. He's the eighth one mentioned. Eight, we know, is associated with the new birth. The ninth one mentioned is in the next verse, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Now, Joseph, if you remember, and we haven't quite gotten there yet in Genesis 49, but in your own readings, if you remember reading through Genesis chapter 49, when the prophecy is made by Jacob to Joseph, what would happen in his life, it's also found right here. This is verse 22. It's found in Genesis 49:22. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. And so Joseph is associated with fruit. The bearing of fruit, he's the ninth one mentioned in our studies. Nine is associated with fruit. The next person mentioned, the tenth one mentioned, verse 23, by faith Moses. Now we know about having Moses. Moses was out there at the burning bush, and God said to him, I'm going to have you lead my people from Egypt. And he brought him to Mount Sinai, and he said, have the people stand around the mount, put a border around it, but you come up unto me, and I will give thee the law. And God's authority and law, number 10, associated right here with Moses, the 10th one mentioned. So in the chapter of faith, with the 19 mentioned, 19 being associated with faith, we see even the other numbers playing themselves out in how the men are mentioned in this particular chapter. And of course, the 17th person mentioned is found in verse number 32. Let's see, Gideon is the 13th, and then 14th is Barak, and then the 15th is Samson, and the 16th is Jephthah, and then the 17th is David. David is the 17th one mentioned right here, and of course we know that 17, we learned, is the number associated with victory, and David is the one, it says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, that the Lord had given to him, David, rest, all about from all his enemies because he had obtained the victory through the Lord. So 17, again, associated with victory. So the numbers play themselves out as we go through. Now, in this chapter, chapter 11, the chapter of faith with 19 people mentioned, in this chapter we learn about faith, and it says, through faith we understand, verse 3. Now, the only way you and I are going to have an understanding of the universe that God's created is through faith. Before I had faith, even with all the worldly knowledge I had and the worldly wisdom I had, and it was a fair amount for years and years and years of schooling and reading and studying, just the kind of peculiar person I was, I liked to read. I enjoyed reading, not fiction, nonfiction books. I used to chew them up, 1 to 2 nonfiction books a week. Between 50 and 100 books a year I would read, nonfiction books, textbooks, reading constantly, all different kinds of subjects. I didn't have an understanding of things. I mean, I couldn't quite put it all together. I had a lot of facts, but I didn't have understanding. Understanding is getting the big picture. Knowledge is pieces of facts. I had lots of pieces of facts, but I didn't have it. We now know, in verse 3, it's through faith we understand. We even understand that the worlds, which We're framed by the Word of God, and the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. There's no Big Bang. It wasn't like there was a ball of stuff that appeared. It was there, and then the things which appear came from the Big Bang. Everything is by the Word of God. I didn't know that until I had faith. It's through faith that we understand. Now, it's curious. 19 is associated with faith. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Contrasting the man of faith of Hebrews 11, Paul's going to mention men who do not have faith in Romans chapter 1. Talks about them, let's say, pick it up in verse 28, Romans 1:28. Even as they, these are people that don't know God, did not like to retain God in their knowledge. These are people that don't want to know God. They don't want to have faith. They don't want to believe what God has said in His Word, that He's framed the worlds by His Word, that He's created us by His Word, that He's ordered all things by His Word. They don't want the Word of God in their lives. These are your unsaved scientists, your unsaved philosophers, your unsaved professors, your unsaved leaders. These are the people God's talking about. Now, Paul's going to mention the characteristics of these people in here. So, verse 28, even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all. Now, if we count through here, unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. There's number 13. 14, despiteful. 15, proud. 16, boasters. 17, inventors of evil things. 18, disobedient to parents. Here we go. 19, without understanding. By faith we understand. 19. Here's the people, 19, the opposite. On the negative 19, they're without understanding. They don't have faith. There's 19, again, associated with either faith or those people that are dividing themselves that have a lack of faith. The 19th thing mentioned right there is without understanding. They are without faith, represented by the number 19. They are without understanding, for it's only through faith that you and I understand the truth down here. We're in a spirit-filled universe. We can only see the physical and the fleshy. Most of this universe is spirit. It's the spiritual that's the greater of the two. So we understand this. Now, in the third chapter of Romans, picking it up around verse 21, where Paul talks about, and this chapter is a great chapter. First, he explains in the first half of the chapter that the people in the first half of the chapter are sinners. And there's none righteous, no, not one. And there's none that doeth good, no, not one. And even if they attempt to do good by obeying God's law, it will always fall short of God's perfection in His sight. So that's why he says in verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His, that's God's sight. End of verse 19. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So if you're trying to get to God by the law, it's not going to work. What you need is faith. So here's the big break. The book of Romans breaks right here in the middle of the third chapter in verse 21. There's your division right there. From Romans 3:21 forward comes the preciousness of the righteousness of God. Right here, 3:21 forward. Now, from this point forward, Romans 3:21 forward, Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 8, Paul's going to impress through the Holy Spirit the absolute necessity of the new birth and believing on Jesus Christ by faith. And that's the only hope anyone has. And I tell people over and over, if you really want to get a handle on what God wants, read the book of Romans, the first 8 chapters. Chapters 1 and 2 and the first half of chapter 3 will show you you're a sinner. And from 3:21 on, it will show you that you need to be a saint by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Picking it up here from Romans 3:21 to the end of the 8th chapter, the word faith will be found 19 times. Because 19 is associated with faith. Get a concordance, get a Strong's concordance of a King James Bible and count it out. Now, if you try it with some modern version, it's not going to work. But in God's precious Bible, the word faith is found 19 times. It's associated with faith, the number 19. And here it's found. We don't have to read through it, but you can read through it on your own. The word faith, then, doesn't appear again until we get to chapters 9, 10, and 11. Now, again, in the division of Romans, you know that 9, 10, and 11 now deals with the Jewish people. Okay? Romans 3 through 8 tells anybody, Jew or Gentile, how to get saved. But 9, 10, and 11, Paul stops in Romans, and he says, I want you to consider, though, the nation Israel. Israel past, Romans 9, Israel present, Romans 10, Israel future, Romans 11, just so that you'll know that God is still going to deal with the nation Israel and the Jewish people. Yes, he's building his church now, but there's a time when the church will be finished, and God's going to be dealing with the nation of Israel. And now here in Romans chapter 9 and verse 30 is the next appearance of the term. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. And what he's doing here is Paul is contrasting in this chapter the faith of those who now have a righteousness by faith against those that will try and attain their own righteousness in this chapter. And that's what this chapter is about. They're trying to attain their own righteousness. That was the problem with the Jewish people when Jesus came. The Jews were trying to maintain the righteousness of the Pharisees contrasted to the righteousness of faith, which is found by Jesus Christ in the 19 times it's mentioned between Romans 3:21 and the 8th chapter. That's the righteousness you need. Not the righteousness of Romans 9, 10, and 11, where you're trying to attain your own, but the righteousness of faith found in those earlier chapters. 19 times the word is found, and it shows you the faith, which is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not trusting in anything you do, not your church membership, not your good works, not your baptism, not anything. So that's an interesting point there. Now, back in when they were building the tabernacle in Exodus chapter 27, we'll see another picture of 19 associated with faith. Exodus 27. Picking it up in verse 9. He's telling them how to build the tabernacle according to God's blueprint. And that's the only way you can build a tabernacle is according to God's word and his blueprint. 27 verse 9. Thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the south side southward. There shall be hangings for the court of fine twined linen of 100 cubits for one side. Now what he's going to do is, after the tabernacle is built, where the Holy of Holies is here with the Ark, and then the Holy Place is here with the candlestick and the table of showbread and the incense altar, he's going to build a court around on the outside, like a fence. And so the tabernacle's here, and there's a court around. And he's telling them how to build it. And this is the north side, and this is the south side. And he's saying the north side will be 100 cubits long, and the south side will be 100 cubits long. And he's saying the way you're going to build it, verse 10, is take 20 pillars thereof, and there are 20 sockets. And so what they were to do was they were to, just like you're building a fence, and they're putting 20 posts up, pillars, 20 of them, along this side. And then what they're going to do is they're going to hang a veil between each of the pillars. So the pillar will be here, and a veil will hang here, and a veil will hang there. And he's making like a fence, like a stockade fence. Instead of wood, it's of a curtain. And he says to have 20 of these pillars. Now, if you have 20 pillars, you have 19 spaces in between. And the veil is in between each of the pillars. And do you know what would blow between the spaces? The wind. The wind is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And so the curtains of the tabernacle were hung, and the wind blew in the 19 spaces between the 20 pillars. Now, it's when you allow the wind to blow in your life, that's when you have faith. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to do the working through you. So what he's doing is he's connecting this number with the wind blowing through the tabernacle on these 19 spaces and faith. And there's one other thing he said about it. When they were building the height of these particular pillars, he said that they should be 5 cubits high. I'm going to see if it's in this particular chapter. I just remember, verse 18. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, and the breadth of 50, that would be on the west and east side. And he said the height, 5 cubits. So it was 5 cubits. Now, so this is a 5 cubit high post, and there are 19 spaces for the wind to blow between. Again, connecting the number 5 and 19 is getting connected here. 5 and 19. Now, again, we know 5 is grace, and we know 19 is faith. And the Bible says that is by grace, 5, ye are saved through faith. That would be 19. Now, it's curious. 5 is being connected with 19. Now, ye are saved. Remember what the number of salvation or deliverance was? It's 14. So by grace, 5, ye are saved, 14, through faith. Okay? So the numbers even line up in that verse. By grace, 5, ye are saved, salvation, 14, through faith. It takes faith in order to get into God's grace and to obtain that salvation. There's the connection. Faith is how we connect to God. God is reaching out in grace, 5, to give us salvation, but we don't make the connection until we reach back in faith. It is our reaching up in faith to what God has said. It's you and I making the choice in our heart and in our will to trust what God has said about His grace and His work of salvation. That's what we need to do. Faith is a choice. You either choose to believe what God said or you choose not to believe what He said. When you choose to believe in faith, then you get the grace and the salvation. That's the way it works. So that's the connection there. The number 19 is only found, I checked it last night again to double check it, 3 times in the Bible. 3 times. Because God is faithful in His part. He has perfect faith toward us. The question is, do we respond in good faith to Him? But He is faithful. He is faithful and true. He is the faithful witness. He has given everything you and I need to know to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right here in the Scriptures. There's nothing else you and I need. We don't need a miracle. We don't need a sign. We don't need a vision. We don't need a wonder. We don't need another word. All we need is right here. He has been perfectly faithful in giving us a book of faith that we can rest our faith upon. From faith to faith is the salvation. From His faith, reaching out, trying to get us to reach our hand up, wooing us to bring our hand up and grasp His in faith. God's done His work. How about you? Have you taken the step of faith? Yes, brother.
Faith.
Yes.
Faith plus grace.
Yes.
5 plus 9 is 14. You don't say the numbers progress.
Okay, yes. Yeah, there's a progression. You can see the progression, yeah. You can see a progression in the numbers. Amen, amen. And it's interesting because there's so many things I miss too. And then as you look, you see the brother just noticed another observation. That's a great thing now. As you start learning these things and you read through, you'll see more of the facets of the gemstone. We're just beginning to scratch and get some of the teachings here. All right, now, yes, number 20 is I'm erasing. Yes.
Lumbar, so I thought of Pat Kennedy.
Yes.
So I went up and I'm standing in proxy for Pat Kennedy. He came over and put his head on my hand and it like blew it away. He said, oh, the faith. And they went and got.
Amen, amen. That's interesting stuff they do with those things. Amen. Amen. Number 20. Yeah, they do interesting things. Those guys are quite interesting. Number 20.
Okay.
We'll move on to redemption. Okay. Number 20 is associated with redemption. And those guys are interesting guys at those things. I wish they'd have more faith in the King James Bible and read it. And it would help them a lot. Number 20, what we're going to find out here, starting in Exodus chapter 30, Exodus chapter 30, we'll see the connection of what God wants to do with this particular number. Only the Lord can look on the heart, the Bible says. You and I cannot judge other people's hearts. And there's no possible way he could judge what's in your heart, or I could judge what's in your heart. And God didn't give him that kind of insight. So, amen. So they do some interesting tricks. God bless them. He'll deal with them. Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. So Moses' job was to go out now and to number the people of Israel that had left Egypt with him. I imagine there might have been some people that stayed behind. I know there were some other people that came out of Egypt with them. And Moses is now his job is to go out and to number these people of the children of Israel. Then he says this, verse 13, this shall they give, everyone that passeth among them that are numbered, a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. And then he defines it. A shekel is 20 gerahs. A half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Now he's telling you, this is going to be used as a ransom for their soul. Verse 16, thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, this is before the Lord Jesus Christ has come, the only one that can make the full atonement for our souls. So God is giving an economy of the law. This is the fifth dispensation that God is providing here through the people of the nation of Israel. And in the fifth dispensation is the dispensation of the law, and they had to make an atonement for their souls by giving 20 gerahs. Okay? And 20 is associated. Now, he says here, does it mention the age of the... Yes, verse 14. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering. 20 years old. So now what's happening is the ransom is to be in silver. Silver, we know, is the metal in the Bible associated with redemption. Gold is associated with heaven. Silver is associated with redemption. Here, this silver shekel is to be given by everybody that's 20 years old. What God's going to do is he's going to associate the number 20 with redemption in the Scriptures. And as we go through the Scriptures, we'll find 20 associated with redemption. Turn to Exodus chapter 38. Exodus 38. We'll look here. We'll look in a few books. We'll look in Numbers. I'll show you. Exodus chapter 38, picking it up around verse 25. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,703 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. In other words, everybody came forward that was numbered, and they all threw it in a big pile, and when they weighed it and they counted it out, it was this much was the total. Verse 27. And of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. Remember, they had all those sockets and pillars that were put up to hold all the curtains on? Well, they took all the money that the people put forward and they built the pillars. The silver ransom money was used to make the silver sockets and the silver fillets and the hooks for the 20 boards of the north and the south sides of the tabernacle. Again, there's 20 boards on the north, 20 boards on the south. Remember, we counted it. He said there would be 20. There's 19 spaces between it, the 20 pillars or boards, but there are 20. So the silver money is associated with the 20 being connecting silver and redemption. Silver, 20, redemption. That's the connection God's going to make throughout the Scriptures. Now, when you get to the book of Ruth, for example, in the book of Ruth, Ruth is, if you will, she's off into slavery as a Moabite woman. And when she comes to Israel, she's looking to be redeemed and brought among God's people. And who was the person that God used to redeem her? Boaz. Boaz is the kinsman redeemer in that particular book. If you go through, he's going to redeem the property of Elimelech and Naomi and Ruth. And he's going to purchase it in redemption to himself. When you count through the book of Ruth, and I did it last night in a King James Bible. I did it in some other ones. It doesn't work. But in a King James Bible, the name of Boaz is found 20 times. 20 times. Mm-hmm. Curiously, it's found in 19 verses, not in 20 verses. One of the verses, the name is mentioned twice. So there's faith and redemption connected through the kinsman redeemer. 19 verses, 20 mentions of the kinsman redeemer's name. That's the picture of the faithful Lord Jesus Christ, the one that's faithful and true, offering redemption in his person. Boaz is a picture of that. 20 connected with redemption. In the book of Genesis, remember when we were studying Jacob? And Jacob left his father's home, and he went up and he served Uncle Laban. And he wanted to get this wife named Rachel. And he served 7 years for Rachel. And then he got deceived and got another woman instead. Leah was given to him. And then the Uncle Laban said, you know, if you serve another 7 years, I'll give you Rachel. And then he served another 7 years. And then he started having children. And he served 6 more years. And then finally, he was able to return, as he had enough purchased, to return back to his homeland. Let's see, 7 plus 7 plus 6, that's 20. It was 20 years he served in the house of Laban in order to redeem. His wives and his children. Turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, you'll see that 20 is associated with redemption. Here Moses is recalling to the people that they had an opportunity as soon as they had come to Mount Sinai, they had an opportunity to be led by God to the promised land. But they disobeyed God. So he recounts their disobedience and the fact that they didn't listen to God. And because of that, they had to spend time in the wilderness. When they were spending time in the wilderness, the people started to grumble against God. And they said, you know what? God is angry with us. God's going to kill all of us. We're all going to die. Our children are going to die. This is worthless. We should have stayed in Egypt. They mumbled and they griped and they complained. And it sounds sometimes like church folks mumbling and griping and complaining because we're not pleased with the salvation God's given us because he's not doing enough for us down here. And this is sometimes the way we get. And so here's what Moses tells them. He says in verse 37, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shalt not go in thither. And there's a picture, and we'll study this when we get to Exodus. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Now here's what he's saying. You people complained. You said God was going to kill all of you. You said God was even going to kill your children. And now the time has come to go in, and here's what. The little ones and the children, which had no knowledge between good and evil, they were saved. Now, when you read back, go to Numbers chapter 14, just so I can put it together for you. Numbers 14, and I'll show you how 20 is associated with redemption. Because the little ones and the children are going to be redeemed. The little ones and the children will be redeemed. Numbers 14. Now here's where it happens, where the Lord gets angry. Moses was recalling it in Deuteronomy. Here's where the actual chapter where it happens. Numbers 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and the children of Israel murmured against Moses. And murmured, if you will, against Aaron. And the whole congregation said, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, and our wives and children should be a prey? Is it not better for us to return to Egypt?" So they're real angry with the Lord. Now the Lord's going to get angry with them, and he's going to let them get their desires, the desires of their heart. Verse 11, and the Lord said, 11 is judgment. The Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with pestilence." And again, the number of 12 is God's government. And in God's government, God makes alive and God puts to death. Get used to it, folks. He's the creator of life, and he can be the killer of body and soul. And Jesus said, "Fear him, which can take body and soul. And I will smite them, and I will disinherit them." Now here's what he did, though, in verse 28. "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do unto you." Why? Verse 27. "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. As truly as I live, I'm going to do this unto you." Verse 29. "Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you," because he had numbered all the people, "according to your whole number," watch this, "from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me." Remember Deuteronomy 1:39? The children will be redeemed. The one 20 years old and younger are redeemed. The one 20 years old and upward are lost. 20 is associated with salvation, redemption, redemption. The number 20 in redemption. The 20-year-old and younger, they're saved. The ones 20 and older, on the top side of 20 and older, they're the ones that are lost. 20 is associated with redemption. 20. There's the cutoff point. Now, that was for the nation then. Now, sometimes you wonder, is 20 the age of accountability now? I don't think so. But at that particular time, God used 20 with these people to show them the cutoff. And you're going to find it at 20 years older, you couldn't even begin your apprenticeship for the priesthood until you were 20. 20 is the number associated with redemption. By the way, do you remember what verse we were in Deuteronomy, where he said that it would be the children that would be spared? It was Deuteronomy 1:39. 1:39. Let's see. 1 plus 39 is 40. 40 is 20 plus 20. He saved the boys plus the girls under the age of 20. The redemption. All the children under 20. Female plus male. 20 associated with redemption. This number is associated with redemption in the Bible. The next major number that we'll study in the Bible is the number 22, which has a particular significance in the Scriptures, the number 22. Now, when he, again, this picks up, first mention will be in the building of the tabernacle. Go to Exodus 25. There are a lot of significance in the tabernacle and these numbers, and we'll look at some of them when we study Exodus next month, when we begin Exodus. A lot of stuff in the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 25, verse 31. Telling them how to make now the particular pieces of furniture to be found in the tabernacle. Exodus 25, verse 31. "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work, shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls and his knops and his flowers shall be the same." This is how you make it. "Six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick on one side, three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, a knop and a flower in one branch. Three bowls made like unto almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower. So the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers." Now here's what he's saying how to build this thing. There's going to be a central shaft upon which the candlestick is built. And there's going to be branches, three out of each side. A branch here, and a branch there. Also connected will be opposite sides, so there's a balance to it. And then he said the way to build it was, verse 33, three bowls made like unto almonds in each branch, in one branch, and three in the other. So he puts a bowl here, and a bowl here, and a bowl here. Now, what the bowl holds is the oil. And the oil is going to supply for the light here. Because the light needs a, it needs something to supply it. So the flickering flame is going to be fed by the oil there. That's going to keep the flame burning. And there are three in each side. And he also said, and in the candlestick, now he means the shaft of the candlestick, the thing that holds it up, shall be four bowls. So the central one gets four. One, two, three, four. And all the bowls hold the oil to supply the light. That's the only thing that lit the holy place. Again, when I drew the tabernacle before, I showed you there was the most holy place with the ark, but then there was the holy place where the priest went, and the only thing that lit it was the candlestick right here. And all the light came from this here. Now, if you count 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 bowls gave the oil for the light. 22 in the scriptures is going to be associated with light. 22 will be associated with light. Take a look at Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 39. Numbers is a great book. I can't wait to teach it. But we got a ways to go before we get there. But God is a God of numbers, and he's going to number the people. And here he numbers a particular tribe, verse 39. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward, because they're all going to be consecrated to the Lord from the time they're babies. They won't apprentice till the time they're 20, but they're consecrated and dedicated from the time they're little, were 22,000. And there we see the number 22. Now, what was the purpose of the priestly tribe? The purpose of Moses and Aaron and the Levites was to reveal to the people the light of the knowledge and the glory of God. That was what the priestly tribe's job was to do. That's why they were spread throughout the entire nation of Israel, and they had synagogues no matter what tribe, whether it was Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, no matter where they were, there was a synagogue, and their job was to give the light of the scriptures and the knowledge of the glory of God to all the tribes of Israel. The priestly tribe, 22, associated with light. Turn to Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 5, that great discourse, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, picking it up in verse 15. In 14, he tells you, you're the light of the world. Okay? Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That doesn't make any sense. But when they light a candle, they put it on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The candlestick, light. The candlestick had 22 bowls. You are now lit and you're placed on the candlestick. 22 associated with light. Now the priest's job was to give the knowledge to the people of God's word. You and I are to give the knowledge of God's word to people. If we were to turn to Psalm 119 and to study through that, you will find that there are 22 divisions in that psalm. Have you ever noticed that? You ever read Psalm 119? The longest chapter in the Bible. My favorite psalm, Psalm 119. Love that psalm. If you turn to Psalm 119, you'll notice that it's broken down into groupings of eight verses. Verses 1 through 8 is a grouping. verses 9 through 16 is a grouping, verses 17 through 24 is a grouping, and at the beginning of each grouping there should be a little heading. Do you have that in your Bible? The first one should say Aleph, the next should say Beth, and then Gimel, and then Daleth. Those are all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. You count through and there are 22. 22. The light that was given, the oracles of God committed unto the Jews. God spoke his words through the Alpha and Omega. That's the beginning and the end of the alphabet. That would be all the way from the first Hebrew letter to the last Hebrew letter, although God's translating it in Greek for the New Testament reader. But those 22 letters contain all the words. The words were contained in those 22 letters and made up of those 22 letters, gave the words of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, interesting, it's associated with light. That's light. Thy word is a lamp. It is a light. You and I have the light of the Scriptures. 22 letters making it up here. Go to Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22, since 22 associated with light. Here's a man that had as much light on the Scriptures as anyone will ever meet. This is the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 22. Verse 1, men, brethren, and fathers, he's going to speak before the people in front of the temple. He's in Jerusalem. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I now make unto you. Verse 2, notice the parentheses. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, using those 22 letters that you and I just saw through Psalm 119, using those 22 letters to speak light unto these people, he gave them light. Now, the first thing he tells them is his testimony. Verse 6, and it came to pass as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying unto me, watch it, Saul. That's curious. You go back in the book of Acts, and when the book of Acts begins, Saul, they start mentioning his name early on in the book. And as the book progresses, all of a sudden the name changes from Saul to Paul, and he's known as Paul throughout the rest of the book. As a matter of fact, in the last chapter, 21, verse 40, notice, and when he had given silence, Paul stood on the stairs. He's called Paul. But all of a sudden, when he talks about the great light, the voice that came to him called Saul. Now, if you count, his name hasn't been mentioned for a long time, but this is the 22nd time the name Saul appears in the book of Acts in the King James Bible. Right there, Saul, number 22. Saul, the great light. Saul received his light. The 22nd time his name is mentioned in this book, that's when he received his light. And then Saul, of course, takes the Hebrew alphabet, the 22 letters, and he gives light to the people right here in the temple as he preaches to them a great sermon. Saul, why persecutest thou me? The light came to us one point in our life and said, Michael, what are you persecuting me for? You can fill in your name in the blank. Mm-hmm. And Jesus finally got through to you and let you know you're a sinner and you're persecuting God with your sin. And he'll deliver you from that sin. And Saul got this message the 22nd time his name was called. It's associated with light. Now, turn a couple books to the right to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 22. The 22 bowls that gave the light to the candlestick. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 5, Paul says to us, he says, ye are all the children of light. Now, of course, he's speaking to a church of believers. At this point, Paul is not out in the street preaching on the street to a mixed multitude. He's inside a church preaching to the Thessalonian church. And he's saying to you here, who've taken Jesus Christ as your Savior, ye are the children of light. Now, who is the ye? Well, that's saved people. That's born-again people. Ye are all children. There's the new birth. Ye, saved, What's the number of salvation? 14. Ye are children. That's the new birth. 8. What's 14 plus 8? 22. Of light. There it is. 14 plus 8 leads to 22. Of light. We have light. We who are saved are now given the new birth, children, and now we have light. 22. I didn't have light until I was saved and became a child of God. Now I have light. You have light? Isn't it nice to be the children of light? What a blessing. This number is found 264 times in the Bible, which is interesting, because if you divide 264, if you factor it out, it equals 22, and I was hoping it'd be in there, times 12. And that's God's perfect government. God is light. In Him there is no shadow of turning. There is no darkness. Living in God's perfect government gives forth light. And there, the number 22 is found 264 times in the Bible. A multiple of God's government times light. So he says we're finishing up. So let's get to the... I've got a few more numbers. I'll tell you what. Any questions on what we looked at this week? Yes. Ye, 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 we're saved. Our children, that's a new birth. I become a child, but that's 8. Of light, 14 plus 8, 22. Just the effect of the candlestick. Associating you and me now, that the light of the world is to be on the candlestick. And the candlestick had that 22 associated with it. Here's the thing that God would have us to do. When you and I get saved, there's a verse in the Proverbs. It says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You ever read that verse in the book of Proverbs? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. I wonder if I got it marked in my margin here. It might be Proverbs 12 and verse 17. No, that's letting your light shine. That's not the right one. I apologize. Not the right one. That tells you how to let your light shine. But there's a verse in the Proverbs, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So here's what happens to a person. What God wants to do, it's Proverbs 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. You and I have a spirit by nature. I have the spirit of Mike. You know, it did what Mike wanted to do. You have the spirit of whoever you are. You did what you wanted to do. What God wants to do is take your spirit, make a candle out of it, and put His light upon it. And then you'll really shine. Now, God did that to me in 1993 when the Holy Spirit came upon my candle. Think of mine as a candle flickering and burning out. And He put His light on it. And the spirit of man, Mike, became the candle of the Lord, and He lit me with the Holy Spirit. When God lights a Christian with truth, what He's saying here, Jesus is saying, I do not want my light to be put under a bushel. I don't want a Christian to get saved and stay at home. I don't want a Christian to get saved and just have a quiet faith all to himself. I want him on a candlestick. Now, we saw the candlestick has 22 bowls in it, and so that associated with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and all the light is feeding it. But the one other candlestick is Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Verse 12. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and I turned and I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And then verse 20, he explains it. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest and the 7 candlesticks, golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. The 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. So Jesus looks at a church as a candlestick. Okay? A candlestick has the ability to hold many candles in it. And Jesus says, you're the light of the world. When I light a candle, I don't put it on a bushel, I put it on a candlestick. When Jesus saved you, he wants to place you in a church. He wants to place you in a candlestick. Why? So many of you together can get together and give more light to the region you're in. Individual Christians, lone wolf Christianity doesn't work. God believes in the local church, the candlestick, where he puts his newly lit candles that he's lit on a candlestick to give light. A church is what God is using in the world to minister. Jesus is building his church. He's working at his church. The local church is what God has ordained to be the ministry agent to the world. And that's what he says, I do. I don't put you under a bushel. I put you on a candlestick. Now, if you run back away from the candlestick, then that's your own spirit taking over again. A lot of Christians do that. And maybe the ideal church would have 22 members. Let's count. I don't know. I don't know. This is just, we're floating around. All right, let's thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you that there are significance to numbers and scriptures. You're giving us some light on these things. We appreciate it. Lord, we know they're not hard and fast rules, but it's interesting to see. Help us in our own private readings and during our own devotions to see some of these things and show us more of the truth and the precious gemstones and riches that you have in your Holy King James Bible, to quicken our hearts and help us to be light. Help us to be the light of the world. Help us to be in a candlestick and working together with the brethren, dwelling in unity, ministering to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.